Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for this surely is your day. Lord, we rejoice, and our happiness is in you this day. Father, I realize, and I think we all realize, that we're living in perilous times. We're living in times of a lot of difficulties, of problems. And Father, we find ourselves this day that we need our touch in you as never before. We need that eternal closeness that we can abide with you throughout our days, our tomorrows, every day of our life, that we need that heavy support that comes through your divine intervention. That you bring us in that place of strength, that place of trusting in our living God. We can truly adapt ourselves as your children. That we can feel in our heart that you are our parent. You're greater than our earthly ties. The things that we have, that we see, the things we touch, the things that seem so necessary and so special to us. Within two breaths, 2 seconds, they can leave us at any second, any time. And Father, we know the things that we put in our heart by you are going to live a continuation of where we are. And Father, we thank you that that continuation can grow into a mighty milestone of blessings, that we can receive abundant harvests, that you don't have crop failures, that you have genuine gifts, you have adequate gifts, you've got perfect gifts, and you're equipped such a way that we can receive whatever we need in a very lasting, in a very powerful, and a very special way. And Lord, we find ourselves very needy. Without you, we're without hope. We're without a smile on our face. We're actually the opposite. Without you, we're stressed. We're put to a place that we don't know to go left or right. We don't know whether to go up or down. We really don't know. We question. But Father, with you, we don't have to question. We know that you totally have the answer, and you will lead us. Your word declares you orders our steps. As good men, his steps are ordered by the Lord. And Father, your word declares, even though he shall fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And Father, help us this day. If even when we fall, your word declares we're not going to have to be cast down. And Father, we know your closeness is so valuable, so without any way to describe it, it's beyond our closest feelings that we can talk. The closest thing that we can come to is our immediate families. Beyond that, it's hard to bring ties because your closeness is beyond anything that we can imagine. And I pray, Father, that you'd move favorably to your people this day in a very wonderful way. I pray that you'd look upon your people with sympathy. You would look upon them on compassion, knowing that they're just made of dust. I pray that you'll give mercy to those that need mercy, and those that need forgiveness, that you'd forgive them. Father, we know that your heart's delight is to forgive those, to seek and save those which are lost, set the captive free. And Father, we know that is your position against all people. All you listen for is their cry. I need you, Heavenly Father. I want you to forgive me. And you're there readily, speedily, to do those areas that we sometimes put off. We live in that same shallow experience when we need to have an up-to-date experience daily, and in a very colossal way, in a very wonderful way, in a way that's above anything that we can ever imagine upon this world. And Father, I just pray that you'd move mightily this day upon your people. I pray for America this day. I pray for this country. I pray for the pastors. I pray for the peoples. I pray for the judges. I pray for the lawmakers, our president, the vice president. I pray for our officials over this land. I pray for our armies, our generals, our admirals, our Air Force people. We pray with the Coast Guard. We lift up all the people that's involved in protection of this wonderful, great, big nation. But Father, without you, this nation could fall real fast. And Father, you are our waymaker. You are our supporter. And Father, this day, I support you, my Heavenly Father, that you are the answer. You're the answer for America. You're the answer for our lives that have been walking so without reason. And you are the reason for this day. You are the reason, because this is the season when you become the reason. Because this season is our Christ, Jesus, was born in a manger. And through that, we receive that adoption. We could receive that special strength. We could receive forgiveness, that we might be able to live with you forever and ever and ever. And Father, we know it's been paid in full. We don't have to question the price, because you gave your all. You gave your own Son for our ransom, that we might be better people, that we might come in from the old lifestyle that we've had when we was out in sin, that we could come into that place of growing in the nature and admonition of the Lord, walking as your child, walking as your servant, be guided by your mighty Spirit. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless this day, encourage us all. I pray that you'd encourage the people this day. Lord God, we all need encouragement. I pray those this day, for all wherever you state you're in, encourage you to go on with God. God's the answer. I pray that no one will feel like they want to quit this day. Pray that you'll keep going on. And your word says, having done all, keep standing. God be for you, who can be against you? And I pray a mighty hedge around your people this day. Father, I just pray, reading a little bit ago, it says you made up a hedge. You sought for a man that fell off the gap, but you found none. And Father, this day I pray that you'll find those this day that will be willing to sacrifice their life to some degree, that they might help make up the hedge, that they would fill in the gaps that need to be filled in by those that have been vacating their calls. And Father, we see that many people have once known you, and this day are far from you. Many have quit your first love. And Father, we just pray that there'll be, bless them, bless those who have once named that name. Father, we pray for the backsliders. We pray for those who have been indifferent. Father, for those who have failed you this day, we pray that you'd pardon them, strengthen them. And Father, for those who have no might, we pray that you increase their strength. Father, we pray that you'd bless your people in a mighty way. And we thank you this day in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to read today, it's in Ezekiel. For some reason, the Holy Spirit just had me read in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is a real depth book. And it parallels with us. It's really direct back there, but it parallels with us. Because all scripture of given is parallel. That means it just didn't adapt then, it adapts to us now. It says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. When we think about it, even the priest in the Old Testament had to have a right relationship with God. We know there's a few that had probably not the right, but we can say Samuel had an excellent spirit with the Lord. Samuel had communication with God all the time. So as the Lord was telling me today, why is it proper the last days that our priests, our pastors, really should have a real close experience and talking with God? Not just hearing the word, but I mean really in the spirit, because the Bible says in the last days that we must worship him in spirit and truth. So as bringing it up, as the Lord was showing me today, isn't it, just doesn't it bleed normal that God would want his people to be above reproach, his leaders, and they would not compromise, they would use this mighty word as a guide? If you was in the business of working on equipment or something, you would study this book. And it's when it said 5,000, you say, okay, 5,000, not 2,000, not 3, I'm going to work 5,000, 25,000, or whatever, going to those kind of realm, or 155 pounds torque, you go to 155, whatever the dimensions are, you follow right down to the closest dimension that you can find. But why is it proper that God's church is God's business, has got to be bigger? The church is the biggest business. I told the overseer at one time, he was wrong. I told him he was wrong. God told me he was wrong. And I says, you know what, sir? I says, you're the biggest business there is. But I says, me as an owner, my own shop, I said, when I give a man my word, I've got to stand by it. So I said, I think you need to do the same thing as we as people have to do too. Well, that don't apply to me. Well, sir, it does apply to him. And it applies to all realms. We, if we're going to play church, let's do it right. Let us wait upon God. Let us see what's wrong. Let us find out why we're not getting people saved. We're not getting people healed. What's happening to our prayers? Why we're not getting answers? What's happening is because we don't go in God's way. We're leaving the things off that God says take hold on, and we cannot promise people that their eternal life. That's God's department. The Bible says we can't even be saved unless the Spirit draws. We go to the third chapter of Ephesians. It's given here. It's a little teaching today, but it promises if the Holy Spirit is going to call teachers, pastors, prophets, apostles, and helps, and they're all by the Spirit. The 14th chapter of Corinthians says they're by the Spirit of the Lord. Now this sort of sets our little bonfires on fire because many of people don't even know anything about what God wishes for. So what the thing is, the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, which is basic rule, study to show thyself approved unto God, a worker rightly dividing the word of truth. So if what's happening, we went out here and we did sort of loose talking. I'm just saying what the Lord put in my heart today. We went out here and established churches, but we really didn't think it through. I'm saying think it through because you know you everything you're doing is thinking. You're not doing it through the Spirit. So everything you're doing has come through your brain up here, but it should be coming through God's Spirit. We should be receivers of the Word. And God also told me today, shame on many people that we can't go make us up a sermon of our own and it'll be from the Lord. God's brought us farther from that. God's higher than us building our own selves. He wants a supernatural church. Don't you think salvation is supernatural? Well, I believe it's supernatural. I'm just fundamentally low enough where I believe that God can do many things. I believe that God can speak to our hearts, which He can. I know that God can work in our hearts and show us great and mighty things. God sent me to the Holy Ghost school. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody. And that school started in May of 1977. I didn't know this till this year, and the Lord told me. At that time, I started seeing that God, and I'll stand before any personality, that God knows all things. You can be just a plain nobody, and God can help you in life. Doesn't seem real if God can help the lowly in life. Can He help the pastors? Can He help the deacons? And that if they do, they will all work together. There'll be no friction. There'll be no fretting. So these are the telltale things that happen when we start walking in confusion. We got to stop our little boat right there and say, what's wrong with our fellowship? Because God says confusion is not to be there. It says that even unbelief, all these things come out of it, and there are works of the opposite side. God's here to fundamentally tear us back down that we might relocate under His mighty umbrella. Where His Spirit is, there is liberty. God's not stupid. We think that God's up there. Oh, we can just do these little things. And God's over. He's not overlooking it at all. God knows before you thought it what He thinks. He knows where you're going to be. I guarantee you for about 10 years, I knew where I was going to be every day I went to work. So I don't care who you are out there in America. You can come against me. But I guarantee you, God knows what He's doing. And don't you stand up no longer and say that God doesn't know nothing, doesn't work through His people. Oh, shame on you. You need to have it up today. That's what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is about, that you might receive power, that you might be furnished with God's glory, that you would not see your evidence coming through the ways of this world. You know what's wrong? Most of the natural men have got books of knowledge. You got books of things, but also with that books of foolishness, then you get foolishness in your mind, and you start even get evil thoughts in your mind, and you get the collection that's not from the Lord. God wants the holy people. Fundamentally, if we're going to start a new church today, you want these basics. It's not here.
America is not here. We need to have God's glory. We need to have the pardon. We need, like the early church, the book of Acts, that is our model church. Be strong, Lord, in the power of might. Put you on the whole armor of God. Why, if we're not having it, it's because we have never started a foundation with it. It's like out here, we have a brand new Caterpillar, and we want it to work, and we say, well, I'm going to pay so much money for it. Say $500,000 for D11, a little over $11 million. But you buy it, and then you don't read nothing about it, so you don't even know how to start it up. And that's what's happened to church. We don't really know how to get it going. We've got the name. We've got the everything's in front of us. We need souls to be saved. We need souls to be touched. We need souls to live on forever. This souls is a big commodity with God. It's not some small, just don't care situation. It's life and death. All every soul that we have, if they don't make it now, they have maybe a potential of not living in heaven. Now, that's a hard thing to believe. It's a hard thing to digest, that our people would go to the place. But I believe without the Spirit, there is no promise of helps. There's no promise of being able to walk in hand in hand with God. And I believe that we as God's servants need to walk hand in hand in His guidelines. He says where His Spirit is, there is liberty. That means that God be for you, who can be against you? But we don't treat it as such. I've been in churches all my life. I've seen fights. I've seen fumes. But that's what got me to praying. I said, Lord, what's wrong? Everybody's fighting to some degree. You get their board meetings, their back things, and then they're all in a confusion. There's troubles. Can't even go to a Sunday school meeting, and there's not troubles. I've seen a fist fight in a place and all these things. I've seen it. So don't tell me that it's all up to down. We need to have the Spirit of God. We need to have the right counsel. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the leader. It's His church. When you kick Him out, you have no policing. You don't have no police force, no law. You don't have no protection. You don't have no more guidance because He is the power. God designated that when Jesus went away, that the Comforter was going to come. Because the Comforter is so lovely and so wonderful, He'll not come against you, sir, madam, whoever you are. He comes to those who will say, Lord, I love you. I wish you to take charge of my life. He's not going to come into your life unless you're going to let Him take charge of it. But the Bible says we've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. And our spirit, our mind, our body. This body should say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for picking me. Thank you, Lord, for believing that I could, having that much faith in your child here, that you could bring me to a level that would be obtainable through your spirit, that I would no longer wander through life's toils, but I could walk in victory every hour of my day, walk in heavenly sunshine, walk in heavenly blessing. Oh, hallelujah. There is no limit where we can go with God. Is before us. But basically, we're living the time that He's coming home. But the Bible predicts in the last days that many are called and few are chosen. And Jesus said it. He says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that enter thereat. Now Jesus said that some 2,000 years ago. And Jesus never lies. Jesus always tells the truth. God always tells the truth. We lie. We cheat. We deceive. We do all these hellish things without the Spirit of God. We need heavenly power, that we need heavenly things, not hellish things. We need the things for God. We walk in His examination. You know, God sees through us every day. His eyes, I don't know how He does it, but He knows where we all are every day. We don't fool Him a bit. He knows our arrangement. He knows our color of our eyes. He knows our desire for Him. And in Ephesians, the second chapter, it says, ye have be quickened, but it goes down to the desires of our heart. That second verse, the desires of our heart. He sees those desires when we really don't have a desire for Him. When we got some lust out here, we want some petty thing that's not worth 2 cents. We want to have fame that's not good for us. We have fame, we lose it. There's something that happens inside of us when we get too much out in the open. We get like the one that we serve, the Lucifer. Prideful. And pride will take us down farther than we can go. Bring us to a place that we can't afford. Lucifer. He'll bring us down to a place that we can miss out on eternity. It's not this day we should question where we're headed today. Out there where you are, do some soul searching. Your church should be above reproach. Your church should walk in guidelines of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. If it's not, you need to stop this day, I don't care where you are, and start your church over again, and hopefully you'll have enough time to get it right. Having done all to stand, it's time to start. It's time is now to start and say, yes, I've missed the mark. I've missed it. I want the Holy Ghost to come in me. He to be my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The Holy Ghost is my shepherd because Jesus said it's needful that I go away. But if I go not away, the comforter, we're down here like a misguided people. And so we misguide ourselves in places of fellowship. And there's no, everybody's coming up with their own sermons. They're coming up with everything they've got. And it's not from the Lord. God just wants it. They may be just as good as sermons, but the thing God wants it from Him. The Spirit's not the same. You may have a better sermon, but the Spirit's not the same. The Spirit of God is what God's considered. He isn't considered, couldn't even consider about what you're saying. He's considered about the Spirit you're coming from. The Spirit of you come up, the only guidelines you have is being baptized in the glory of God and called by God. Delivered by God. Set free by God. And these fake-aloo people that have not this is not in God's guidelines. God's here loves you. God so loved the world. That's what it's all about. But if God would stop the clock this second and you missed eternity, what could you say? I know what you'd say. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I take heed while my heart was still beating? Because after your heart stopped, there is no change. There is no change. As Noah, Daniel, and Job could only save themselves. Even though as good a man as they were. The only thing that you can save is yourself. We need people in God's business to be able to coerce them to come into a place that they'll be ready to save themselves with God. Having a personal relationship with God. Not a flimsy relationship that relies on where their mother or their father came from. Or how much they pay the pastor. Or all these things that come into existence. But having a real born again experience of God. We're having a fellowship with God. Be followers of God as dear children. Walking in His adoption. You know, adoption. That when I have two adopted kids, there's no way I can't ever separate myself with those kids. Now, if they're natural kids, I could. But adoption means they got a right on me from now to the time I go. That's the way God is. God paid in full. That we might receive an inheritance that fades not away. That we might, I see so many people as downtrodden, upset. They don't know what's happening. And God says, you can't tell them because they don't know. It's spiritually discerned. It's spiritually discerned. Why do we spend so much time in something that's not working? We need the whole Spirit of God to make us alive, that we will receive those benefits, lasting benefits, that are holy, above reproach, that are guidelines. Our whole being is not about chit-chat, but it's by the Spirit of God. Where His Spirit is, there is liberty. Life is too short to play games no longer. Life is a kind of commodity. It's going to be cut off. What would profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What can we give in exchange for? We cannot. We need to go God's way. I know men have told us you don't have to do nothing but just call upon God. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says wages of sin is death. And the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But after the Bible says in Hebrews, after we go and sin against God continually, there is no more repentance. And many times you never even call upon God for forgiveness. So that's sins that need to be prayed over. That's sins every day that we need to call upon God. Say, oh Lord, it's not my sister, nor my brother, nor my father, nor my cousin, but it's me, oh Lord. Send me to prayer. We need to have that first love. That we're not having to walk in a shameful condition. And Revelation it says that our shame be found in us. And that shame we will lose of the Lord. The Bible says he's neither cold or hot than lukewarm. And I believe, as God's shown my heart, that most people are lukewarm. And the only way that you can stay full of the Holy Ghost is every day became attaining more. Because we come in that other position. We go back and are laid all by laurels. I've lived with the Lord 50 years, and yet today you're dried up. Today we're without hope. Oh, I lived with the Lord. But God says, seek ye his kingdom, and all these other things shall be added unto you. We've added these in to get people saved. Now, I appreciate getting people saved, but they need to go begin to get them saved. We need to keep them saved. Keep them full of the Spirit of God. Keep them, and there's no questions. There shouldn't be no question this night whether you're going to go to heaven or you're going to go the way of transgression. The Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. The way of a transgressor is hard. But God says, oh man, rise up, for I love you. I've given you my son. I've given you my best. I've given you the power. I'm making a wonderful place for you in heaven. Why don't you receive me this day? If you shall receive me, I shall bless you. But I cannot bless you what you're doing right now. I need you to simply say, Heavenly Father, I want all that you've got. I want to walk in wholeness. I want to be above reproach. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in thy word. I want to walk in thy presence. I want to walk in my liberty, that I would no longer do the things that I feel that I'm walking in my flesh. The flesh stinketh. This flesh has got to die. This flesh has to die. And it's going to hurt when we die. It means we're not going to be able to do the things we want to do. We're not going to get to go to the places we want to go. And some of you Christians out there are going to get to go to the things that you want to do either. God wants a special people. You say, that's too hard. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Narrows the way. I'm just saying what God has raised me up to say, America, you're not where you should be. America, wake up. Aware, America, get where you should be, because the Spirit of God is heavily upon me. And where His Spirit is, there is liberty. And I've seen God do tremendous things. And today, where I'm right now, no one can come against me, because the Spirit of God's here. God's here in a holy way. The only way that you can walk through life is having that same Spirit. It's available to everybody. But we've played games. We know our numbers instead of quality. We wanted numbers. We wanted to build great sanctuaries. God says, in Acts, it says, he didn't come to live in the temples. He came to live in our heart. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? God saying it. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. God saying, oh church, ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I shall dwell with you, and I shall walk with you. And I shall be your God, and ye shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean and thing, and I shall receive you. This is God speaking. And I shall be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us therefore cleanse ourselves, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. God, Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. God's here to bring us into perfection. Ephesians, the third chapter again, it says, call for us, God's people, to come in perfection. How does that happen? Through the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You can't do it in ourselves. There's no way, sir, but you're going to have signs and wonders. What Daniel sees is going to come to pass in the church. There are going to be signs and wonders and great knowledge in this earth today. But God wants to outdo knowledge. He wants that part, the imprint of the Holy Ghost, to be written in Ezekiel 2. It's the hearts of his people be written, and the Spirit of God would be in them, about them. It's in the Old Testament. He could see this day coming. Daniel could see it. He could see a lot of people running to and fro. Look how we go. Look how we go. I drive myself here to there. Look how many airplanes go within a short distance. Alaska, all the world. It couldn't be done 200 years ago. 100 years ago. But it's available now. And that said, this is a sign of his coming. He's coming, maybe today. I figured he'd be here before the year 2000. I figured about 1987. I really did. But every day I know he's coming. I'm not giving up. He's coming. The Bible says there'll be People say, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as saying, where's the promise of his coming? But since the fathers, saying, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. It says that this they willingly are ignorant of by the word of God, the heavens and earth, and the earth is over in the water, and the world that was out of the water perished. But he says that it goes down by the same word that kept that intact will keep us in the day when he comes. Because he's going to come like a thief in the night, when the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the works thereof shall be burnt up. God's here to help us. Goes on down in those passages. We need to realize that this place, earth, is going to have about to run down its cycle. That's why these storms. Storms just yesterday in Washington. People have never seen what they're in Washington. That what I see this morning on the gas pumps is just like people. They had gas, people on the side of the road selling 1 gallon of gas for $25 a gallon. People had no place to go. They was out in the cold, struggling to keep warm. This is America, because God is coming. That's what it's all about. He's coming. He's coming. And I believe we're going to be Babylon too. We need to get out of this place. The Bible says in the 18th chapter of Revelation, you need to know this word. It says, come out from a Babylon. And I've come out of her. I'm coming out of her. I'm selling out totally. Oh, glory to God. We shoot him a cool glory. God's here. And by the way, he's here. I didn't know. Oh, I feel his glory. When I started this service, I didn't know nothing. This is all revelation from God. From those. I didn't know about those. But Noah, and I can't even say it now, Daniel and Job, even their good works. They had nothing, no influence how it gets a person on their own selves. We all stand accountable to God. Let no man trick you. Because I believe there's a lot of people that have misguided everybody. They misguided you, say, oh, you can just come down to our socials we have down here. Come down, we got our clubs down here. We got people, we go on boat trips. Not what I'm saying, the truth, gospel. We want our seniors, when they go out and they relax, because we don't want them to be around the church for a while. There's no retirement, God. No retirement. That's why our old seniors are something happened up here in the brain, because they need to stay active. God says no retirements, stupids. Come alive, and I'll bless you, move upon you. And those old people have a lot to offer, but they've been depleted. They've been put out in the pens to die. Many of them will die. Many of them will lose that first reward, that first love. Because we can never quit. That's what God's having today. We cannot quit. It's like an inchworm. He's going to inch you all the time, but you cannot give anything to him. You've got to hold your ground constantly, and the devil never sleeps. We sleep. So we need to pray even when we go to bed. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Wouldn't believe it. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that I shall fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. Oh, I'd love the Lord to take me home right now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I would just love it. Lord, take me home. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. God's not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness. God's here to lift us up. We need to be pioneers for God, because we haven't lived where we should be. We need to break through. Say, I'm going to be victorious. I'm not going to take a chance on my place with the Lord. That I'll pray through. I'll get to that place that I know that my life is where God wants me to be. If there's any question, just remember that question comes from the enemy. He wants you to be fooled. He wants you to buy into this once saved, always saved. Everything's hunky-dory, but it's not for the Lord. Man has put that in there because we've started, God showed me this, we have started different denominations over one little phrase. This is the whole Bible. The whole Bible. We've never went through the places where it says, thou shalt not. We've said that I can do all things. May I forget? The Bible says you can do these things after praying through the Spirit. That's what it says. And everybody says, oh, you know, all things work together. No, it says for those who are praying through the Spirit. It's the 8th chapter of Romans, if you want to read it. It's what it says. For we know not to pray for as we ought. Therefore, the Spirit maketh intercession with groaning which cannot be uttered. He that searches the God's not a liar. He that searches the heart and not the mind of the Spirit maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And it says, all things work together for good to them of God who are called according to His purpose. God says, those who have done that, He joins right up to the preceding verse. I was with a person the other day, this good Christian. Oh, she said, well, this God's, everything done is God. No, it isn't. God, don't get the blame for all this stuff. The enemy has got his full of it. And he's got his hand marks, and God don't need to not be smeared on God's wonderful name. God's only for love. He's there to love you. He's here to guide you. He's here to give you a heavenly home. He's here to strengthen you. He's here to forgive you. He's here to uplift you. He's here to encourage you. And we can never, 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 ever, ever, never even think about having nobody in this earth like our Heavenly Father. The power of Jesus, the Holy Ghost, the things of God without fail. This heavenly word is dynamite. It's liberty. But it takes the Spirit of God to bring it alive. Hallelujah, I'm through. I pray for a mighty blessing this day. I pray that you'll bless your, touch your, set your people on fire this day. Give them liberty. Give them a reason for this season, because the season of Jesus Christ. Jesus, maybe you'll come back this week for your birthday very soon. It'd be a wonderful time. Be a very appropriate that Sunday, next Sunday, you would take us home. What a wonderful day. But I'm afraid there's a lot of people that's not ready. And that part really worries me. Scares me, because I want to see all people. I love people. I don't know anyone that I don't love. We need to have the Holy Ghost. We need to have Jesus. We need to have that freedom, that glory. That God wants to have that arrangement, that we have a climate. We be like Caleb and Joshua having a more excellent spirit. Daniel had a more excellent spirit. Many people through the Bible had a more excellent spirit. We need that excellent spirit. Yes. Everybody doesn't have it. It was the same way back in the Old Testament. Same high way in the New Testament. Not all had it. In the early church, there was only a few percentage-wise that came God's way. But that's not saying that God's not good. Because God is going to deal with Israel when we're gone. And God's going to have a harvest out of Israel. It says God's going to have a people out of Israel. We've been grafted in. So it behooves us. The Bible says if God wants Israel, and when Israel has went through the hardship, how shall not we ourselves realize, that's in that 9th chapter, Romans 2, that he wants to work, or 10th chapter, those, but it talks about, we need to wake up that we're the grafted in. We need to be careful that God not pluck us out also. I love all of you. I pray that God will bless each one of you. I never know what's going to happen anymore. And I love all of you out there. Just don't quit, whatever you are. Don't give in. That's what the enemy wants, just to quit. But you really need to seek God. You need to take some time with Him. You need to take time. It's more necessary for you about you and him, the Lord's life, than it is Christmas. It's more necessary even about your family, whoever you are. The most necessary is your heart with God. That's the beyond the agenda. That's the bottom line. You need to do it. It's beyond more than your health. It's more than anything. The one priority, it's the biggest priority you got. If you got time, you need to take time, seek God, to call upon Him, let Him know that you are interested in what He has for you. You just don't take it as a nonchalant thing. Many people take it as a nonchalant experience. Well, you know, my folks go to church and I go to church and that's it. But I'm not going to make you to heaven. I guarantee you. There's a way that seems right unto man. Yes, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Seek ye first His kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. Call on me, and I will answer and show you a great and mighty thing. I can go down scripture after scripture after scripture. For the enemy comes in like a flood, and the Lord thy God shall raise up a standard against him. Yes, if you're on God's team. If you're on the other side, you just get what everybody else gets. Another thing, your prayers don't get answered. You pray in a mist. So it's serious. Our life with the Lord, very serious. I take it as heavy duties. I'm more serious about it than anything. For years, I've been very serious about it. And I see some people just so nonchalant, just don't really care. Just laugh. And to me, I don't know how we could be so joyful when there are people going to hell. When there's souls in Africa that's dying. Malnutrition, all these things. And all these diseases upon this land. We need to be caring. God cares, and we need to care. We need to be care through our understanding. We have compassion.
that we know the God of all comfort. We're to be comfort those who are in trouble also, lest they have any trouble. So we need to comfort those. We need to care for them. The Bible says, Lord, we pull them out of the fire. We need to, at a position, we're going to pull them out of the fire. Whatever it takes, we're going to help those. And I pray this message will go through the world around us, to the world, that God will meet the need wherever you are. Father, I just pray for a mighty blessing upon your people this day. I pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and thou art the power, and thou art the glory forever. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, glorious day. I thank you that you're real. I thank you that you're wonderful. You're marvelous. And I thank you for all the signs and wonders. I thank you for all the ones that I've seen healed just the last year, the many souls we've seen touched. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise to the wonderful name of Jesus. Call my brother when you can. Call him and let him know that you hear from us. We love you and we want you to make sure that you make heaven your home. And that's our reason. We don't have offerings. We don't have any of those things. But our reason is we want to see mankind make sure they're making it to heaven. We won't be the same if you're not in heaven with us. We want you to be there with us. We just give God the praise, God the glory. We thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.